Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 14, verses 14 to 21. 14 to 21. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away, so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
I cannot tell you when or why I have been burdened by this. But for most of my ministry years, which is 35, I have carried the burden of trying to strengthen the church during this season of ease and comfort, so that we would be prepared when or if opposition would come. I don't know where it would come from. And it would be nice if it doesn't come during our lifetime. But according to church history and the stirring in my soul, we ought to be prepared for it. I am not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But listen to Paul's counsel in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, for the days are evil." The earlier part of that chapter in Ephesians 5, Paul warns, don't be wooed along the way of this world. Even though that has been part of our past, wake up. Be aware of what is happening and the direction that the world is going. Be intentional in your walk, so to imitate Christ. And as you do, God will shine through you. That came just before verses 15 and 16 in that exhortation, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." This morning, I would like to draw your attention to an amazing story that's recorded in all 4 Gospels. And in so doing, draw your attention to an amazing resource that is made available to us as children of God. The text of our scripture reading this morning, Matthew 14, is Jesus had just heard that John the Baptist was killed. John had been arrested and put in prison because he spoke against Herod, who had taken up with his brother's wife, Herodias. Now, on his birthday, his niece, his wife's daughter, if we can say it that way, danced for him and those who were in attendance at the party. So taken was he that he promised to give her whatever she would ask. After consulting with her mother, she asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter, which was done. John was not just the cousin of Jesus, but John was a faithful servant of God. Of him, Jesus said, "I say to you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." He said that in the context of speaking of those who were living in the old covenant. So when Jesus heard of John's death, he sought some privacy. He sought to be alone with his disciples to grieve. His disciples would have known John the Baptist, or some of them, very well, because they too had been followers of John the Baptist before they were invited to follow Jesus. Let me say, I do appreciate you folks here at FBC in how respectful you are regarding Pastor Tyler and my time off. I hope you know how genuinely we care for you. And if needed, we want to be there to help. But if it is not urgent, we so appreciate you waiting when it isn't our day off. By the way, let me share with you, Tyler's days off are Thursdays and Saturdays, and mine are Friday and Saturdays, just so that you know. But that's not the way it's always been. For me anyway, in my experience, for some, any concern is a crisis. I remember quite a few years back, I had just gotten home from the hospital, and the phone started to ring. And after about a week's time, we made a decision. We can't stay home. And so Sue packed us up, and off we went for some quiet and some rest. I can only share that with you because she shared that with me. I remember so little of that. I fall so far short of Jesus' example here. He wanted to be alone, to grieve the loss of a dear friend, but the people would have none of it. And we read in verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 14, "Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick." But there is so much more to the story than that. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And this is the question that I wanted to bring to you this morning. When the demands are more than our resources, what do we do? Some try to escape. Escaping the problem or escaping the responsibility is one of the first things that some people try to do. "It's not my job. It's not my responsibility. I don't see a problem here. I don't know anything, don't ask me." When troubles and challenges come, some people try to avoid any sense of responsibility. I heard of a sign in a window where it says, "The buck stops here." And it was in a store that specialized in selling archery equipment. Good play on words. Others try to escape the situation or responsibility by running. Recent generations are experiencing something new. Mothers and wives are abandoning their families. And this never happened before. People are just saying, I've had it. They can't take it anymore. And they run. This is not totally new. David speaks of this temptation to run in Psalm 55. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy winds and tempest. David knew what it was to be under that kind of pressure and just long to be away from it. The author of one of Anne Murray's greatest hits, Snowbird, Glenn McKellen, died at age 57. He died at his own hand. The song speaks of running when faced with unfaithful love. The breeze along the river seemed to say that he'll only break my heart again should I decide to stay. So little snowbird, take me with you where you go, to that land of gentle breezes where the peaceful waters flow. Running. That song does not particularly speak of suicide. But today, it seems, we hear so much of that. Suicide, for many, seems to be a viable option to escape their situation. How sad. How people need to know there is hope, even when the situation seems hopeless. So back to our text. The disciples said to Jesus, send the crowd away that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves. And though I have read some scholars that feel that that the disciples here were passing the buck, really, what were they to do? Consider the situation. The day was already late. They were in a desolate place, little resources. And in a fashion, they were taking on a measure of responsibility, for they recognized that there was a problem. People were hungry, and they suggested a solution. Send them away to get some food. When the demands are more than our resources, folks, let's reevaluate our resources. How blessed we are to have one another. To have that sense that we belong, that we can count on one another, that we have friends, we have good, faithful friends. Friends that we can turn to and call upon in times of need. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. But there are times and situations where even good friends are not enough. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is found in every gospel. The account in Luke 9 starts off with this. Now the day was ending, And the 12 came to say to him, referring to Jesus, "Send the crowd away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place." The disciples cared and appreciated each other. And no doubt there were times when in situations or even spending the night when it was not all that comfortable. As Jesus himself said, "The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." But they could see a potentially very difficult and dangerous situation here. For there is a great multitude that was before them. So the suggestion had merit. I can appreciate the disciples kind of getting together prior to this conversation with Jesus and had a bit of a conversation. Has the master totally lost track of time? Can he see that the day is done? And here we are in this barren place. What are we going to do with all these people? Somebody needs to talk to him. Well, maybe we had all better talk to him. And they did. But Jesus did not take their suggestion. He came back with a different option. Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Well, I would dare say that they didn't see that coming. In John's gospel, it says, "Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive but a little." A denarii is about a day's labor, a day's wages for a day's labor. That would be equivalent today of about 10 months' work. Andrew speaks up. In John 6, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. There were about 5,000 men who ate besides women and children. The challenge I have with this story is that we are way too familiar with it. We have heard it many times. It probably loses its impact. But let me share with you a story that you have not heard that speaks of God's work. There were 2 girls who were ministering in the inner city. I don't know which inner city, but doing work in the inner city. This was a time before cell phones were common. And they needed to make a call. So they went and made their call, and coming back to their car, they were surrounded by what was described to me as a gang. They were able to get in the car, and when they went to start the car, it wouldn't start. The girls prayed. Then they tried to start the car again, and it started. And they drove away, and they got home, only to find out when they reached their destination that they had taken their battery. And you are saying, "That's impossible." And I would say, exactly. Just like it is impossible to feed 5,000 men plus women and children with a boy's lunch. That's impossible. That story came to me by a missionary doctor who was attending our church. And one of those girls was her daughter. What delights me in this story of the feeding of the 5,000 is there wasn't a bread truck just over the side hill that their animal went lame or a wheel fell off and they had all this bread that they needed to distribute it and they had a ready market here. Even if they weren't getting anything, it wasn't going to be wasteful. It wasn't that all of a sudden all these schools of fish started beaching themselves on shore. That's not how this happened. As amazing as those two situations would be, that's not how this happened. There's a little boy's lunch of 5 buns and 2 fish and was brought to Jesus. And Jesus gave thanks and broke it and distributed it to his disciples who distributed it to these people. When I was preparing for this message, I saw something that I'd never seen before, and it's in the account of Mark, where Mark said, as Jesus was breaking the bread, was breaking the food, he just kept breaking it and giving it to his disciples, and they kept taking it, shuttling it to the crowd. It's not like he put this food in a basket, and as people pulled out, it miraculously duplicated. It was duplicating as he was breaking it and giving it out, and they took the food to the multitude. And when they all ate, and scripture is very specific, when they all ate and were satisfied, they gathered up what was left over, 12 baskets full, one for each of the disciples to carry down to their boat that they had arrived in. Now, what followed is actually linked to this story. Jesus immediately sends his disciples away by boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. I think Jesus was intentional about this because he knew what the multitudes had in mind, to make him their king, to make him their ruler, which would play right into the expectation of the disciples. And he knew that it was not his time. In fact, he knew that's not what he came for, to be a political ruler, to be a social ruler. And so he so protected his disciples from being put into that situation where it would have been so easy for them to side with the crowd, because that's what they were looking for, that Jesus got them out of the way. After the disciples were dismissed, he dismissed the multitude and went up into the mountain to pray. And what happens next is also a very familiar story. The disciples were caught in a storm as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus came to them walking on the water. Now, I'm not going to go into another sermon on this passage of Scripture, but there is a statement that is said here that pertains to that feeding of the 5,000. Reading from Mark 6, 49 to 52, when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that he was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. What insight had they missed? If you don't get anything else out of this morning, I hope that you get this. This, I believe, is the insight that they missed. With Jesus, our problem is no problem. With Jesus, our problem is no problem. If you are a child of God, when you meet up with challenges and troubles, those situations where you just do not know what to do, and you take inventory, considering all your options, remember Jesus' promise, "I am with you always. I will never desert you. I will never forsake you." Gain the insight of the incident of the loaves. For the disciples, they had no solution. For Jesus, he had no problem. Will he answer the way we think he would, or he should, or even the way that we would ask? Likely not. But don't put conditions and demands on your prayers, on your requests. God works in different ways than what we would think. Feeding such a vast multitude with the boys' lunch. How ridiculous. How marvelous. God knows what we have need of before we ask. But he still invites us to ask. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when the demands get greater than our resources, then you have not counted all your resources. God can provide a solution when, humanly speaking, there is none. Gain the insight of the incident of the loaves. We kind of wonder, why would God send the disciples out into the boat if he knew that there was a storm and that it was going to be a very, very difficult time? One, to get them out of the situation, but two, to show themselves something that they could not see otherwise. Sometimes we wonder, why is God allowing me to go here or to experience that? We don't know. We do not always know why God is doing or allowing things to happen that happen to his children, to us. But we have a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father that we ought not to question, but look to him in faith. Look to him, praying, believing, and trusting. With Jesus, our problem is no problem. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you, humbled with the reality of this situation. Recognizing, Lord God, that you call us to situations and you allow us to experience situations that we would rather not. And yet you can make good things of them. You can bring good things from them. You can use them to teach us and to strengthen our faith and our confidence in you. Lord, we are weak. We know that. There are times when we think that we've got it all under control, and then things happen that are way out of our resources, and we recognize how weak we are. And yet we're humbled with the reality that you are our God. You know what we have need of before we ask. And yet, Lord, you ask us to ask and to act. And so, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to look to you first. But, Lord, help us to have ears to hear and to listen and faith to rest in you and allow you to work. I'll allow you to work in situations, in our situation, even though we cannot see a solution. Lord God, you are a good God. Thank you. Thank you that you are our God. Lord, if there is anyone here that is going through unique and just situations that seem to be beyond their realm, may they turn to you. May they have confidence in you. If they don't know you, Lord God, we pray that you would open their eyes to the wonder of your great love, your care, and your provision. Lord, thank you that we can be called children of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.